Our sermon text for today comes from the 20th chapter of the book of Matthew, Matthew chapter 20, verses 1 through 16. The parable of the workers in the vineyard. For the kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who went out early in the morning to hire workers for his vineyard. He agreed to pay them a denarius for the day and sent them into his vineyard. About 9 in the morning, he went out and saw others standing in the marketplace doing nothing. He told them, "You also go and work in my vineyard, and I will pay you whatever is right." So they went. He went out again about noon and about 3 in the afternoon and did the same thing. About 5 in the afternoon, he went out and found still others standing around. He asked them, "Why have you been standing here all day long doing nothing?" "Because no one has hired us," they answered. He said to them, "You also go and work in my vineyard." When evening came, the owner of the vineyard said to his foreman, "Call the workers and pay them their wages, beginning with the last ones hired and going on to the first." The workers who were hired about 5 in the afternoon and came and each received a denarius. So when those who were hired first came, they expected to receive more, but each one of them also received a denarius. When they received it, they began to grumble against the landowner. "These who were hired last worked only 1 hour," they said, "and you have made them equal to us who have borne the burden of the work and the heat of the day." But he answered one of them, "I am not being unfair to you, friend. Didn't you agree to work for a denarius? Take your pay and go. I want to give the one who was hired last the same as I gave you. Don't I have the right to do what I want with my own money? Or are you envious because I am generous?" So the last will be first, and the first will be last. This is the word of God for the people of God. This is quite an interesting story. And it really ties in to a lot of thinking in the church. We in the church have this idea that by coming to church and doing all of the things that we're supposed to do, we're earning something. I'm not sure what we think we're earning. Maybe we think we're earning God's good grace. Maybe we think we're earning jewels in our crown. I encourage you to read the book of Revelation, especially the first few chapters, if you're working to get jewels in your crown, because you'll find out that in the first few chapters of the book of Revelation, it says that you take your crowns and throw them in front of the throne so you don't even get to keep them. So why are you getting a lot of jewels in them anyway? Nowhere in the Bible does it say we earn jewels in our crowns. It's another one of those things that people think is in the Bible. But the Bible expressly talks against that type of thing. We are never in the Bible told us by doing good things, it earns us something. It earns us some kind of extra reward from God. Now I want you to think about that. What extra could you get? He's already taken away all your sins. He's given you eternal life. He's allowed you the opportunity to live in heaven with him for eternity. What more is there? What more is there for God to offer to you? God has already given you so much more than you could earn or deserve. I know in my own life that if I would have to go on how good of a person I am, I'd quit now. I'd quit because it just doesn't work. This last year has been difficult for me It's been frustrating. I find myself getting angry more often. I am really, really surprised that my computer screen has lasted 7 months. It's amazing. Because there are so many times when I want to pick it up and throw it right through the window of my office. The only problem is I own the house now and I can't go to the trustees and have them fix it. I've got to fix it myself. And my mom taught me at an early age, I always had a problem with temper. And my mom's theory was, you break it, you fix it. Which is why I can work on almost anything. Because I've learned. But I understand that it's only through God's grace that I have the ability to stand before God and have any hope. That's what this story is about. This story is about God's grace and God's accounting. God's accounting is what I titled the sermon, because we have this idea that God works the same way we do. See, we have in our mind this ledger, and our name is there, and every time we do something good, we get a little mark. Of course, we tend to forget when we don't do good. Those marks we don't count. It's just the good ones we want to mark down and have this idea that we're earning something. Well, this story is about a landowner, and the landowner is God. And he has a vineyard. He has a field where people need to be at work. And so God goes out into the town, the landowner does, and he hires people to work in his vineyard, hires people to do the harvesting, to do the work of God. And he goes out first thing in the morning and hires a bunch of people, and he goes out at 9 o'clock, and then he goes out all through the day, and every time he goes out, he brings more and more people in to do the work of the harvesting. And at the end of the day, he pays everyone. Now, you need to understand a few things about society in Jesus' day. First of all, the average wage for a day of work was 1 denarius. But that was also about what it cost you to get enough food for your family for a day. So you were going day to day, and you had to work to be able to provide for your family. So when the first of these people he hired them at 5 o'clock. The workday ends at 6 o'clock, so they worked for 1 hour. And they were given a denarius. And everybody else was given a denarius. Everybody else was given enough to provide for their family for the next day. Now, if you look at this story, you can look at it from a couple of different perspectives. First of all, if the landowner had not given the people enough to provide for their family for the next day, what good was it to hire them anyway? He didn't help them accomplish anything. In fact, he didn't give them enough money to make it even worth going to work. But in his grace, in his desire to care for the people in his community, he gave them enough to provide for them for the next day. If he had hired them all at the beginning of the day, he probably would have made more money because they would have picked more grapes in the vineyard. But anyway, as long as they kept getting more and more people, he was making money. He was doing well, so he was sharing that with the people. So this was a man who was a gracious man and cared for the people of his community. But now let's take a look at it from the perspective of this being God and the workers in the vineyard being the church. Now, we like to talk about the people who have been members of the church for years and years and years. I was talking with Amy when we did the wedding here, and she said she's been playing the organ at weddings for 68 years. That's amazing. But she probably gets paid a little more now than she did 68 years ago. But it's still a gift. It's still the same thing. In God's eyes, that's no better than anybody who just comes into the church and desires to serve God, who helps out in our backpack program or the warm and fuzzy or any of the other programs that we do. See, we're not here because we're good people. We're here because God is a great God. And God has opened up His grace to each and every one of us. Those of you who have spent your life in the church, do you realize how much of a blessing that has been for you? I know as a pastor who moves, and I've moved to, I think, 6 different charges. It may be 7. But every time we've moved into a community that accepted us and loved us and cared for us. And that's a joy. But those of you who have had the joy of being in the church for your entire life, you've received so many blessings already. When you're in trouble, you know the church will pray for you. When you have something to celebrate, you know the church will celebrate with you. And those joys are something that the longer we're in the church, the more we grow to rejoice in them and to just love the idea that we have them. Those who don't have the church, those who don't have a fellowship that they can go to when they're struggling, those who don't have a fellowship that they can share with when something wonderful happens in their life, they're the ones who are missing out. And when they come into the church, they find out that people actually care about them, that people care when they're in need, that people care when they're struggling, that people rejoice with them when wonderful things happen. You want to see a church rejoice? When one of the members has a baby. First Church just had a new baby in July. And when her mother comes to church or to a meeting, she never has to worry about what's going on with the baby. She very seldom even gets to visit it because people love to share in that rejoicing, to share in that. What you miss out with if you're not a member of the church is all of the blessings that God gives you through the church. You're not building up anything. You're living in God's grace. You're living in the blessings that God gives us on a daily basis. You're not living by yourself. You're living in community. And when we live in community, then God works in us and through us. See, so we don't have to worry about building something up. We're already getting paid by just being a part of God's people, of being under God's grace. That's what this story is about. It's about God loving us so much that we become a part of something and we're blessed. Those people who worked 1 hour were blessed by the landowner. It doesn't matter when you come into the church. It doesn't matter how long you've been here. Because if you're a part of it, you'll feel the grace of God in your life. You'll see the grace of God in other people's lives. And you'll be able to share in that. That's what God offers us as the people of God. I really feel great sadness for those people who are not a part of a church, who try to find some sort of family, some sort of connection somewhere else. If you're trying to find it on social media, there's no family there. There's no real connection. But here we come together and we're connected by our love of God, but we're even more connected by God's love for us. And what a joy to be able to have that. To know that God loves us and cares for us, and when our life is over on this world, that we will go to be with Him. Not because we've earned it, but because He loves us. That's the promise of God. He wants you to be a part of His family, a part of this group that comes together and rejoices in all that He offers. You can't earn it, you can't buy it, but you can get it for free. You can be a part of God's people. All you have to do is ask, and God will bring you into the kingdom. God's asking now, why are you not a part of my church? Why are you not a part of my people? And maybe you're saying, because nobody ever asked me. Well, we're asking you now. Would you be a part of God's people? Would you give yourself to Jesus Christ and allow Him to be your Lord and Savior? Would you join our family? Would you be God's people? Amen.